37. I want to talk to you again this morning about destiny robbers. Rufus's mom is here today. When she came in with Garrett, I thought Garrett had a new girlfriend. Would you stand up, Linda? Would you give Rufus's mom a big God bless you today? Lord, I just thank you for the next few minutes to be honored in everything that is said and done. We do it for your sake in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been talking on this subject for the last few weeks on destiny robbers, and I'm just so cognizant about how we could allow God to use us and to do great things in us. And we also can sometimes allow some distractions to come in and through our lives that move us away from the plan that God has for our lives. And this is so important. And I hope you listen to me this morning. And, last week I talked about out of Habakkuk and how God had talked to him about really what the end times we're looking at. And it's so relevant. And if you didn't work here, you can listen to that message online at thecitychurch.com. And some of the things that Habakkuk did. And then I talked the scripture about when the three kings, king of Israel and two others, were going up against the king of Moab, and how they needed a prophet to help them, and how they called on Elijah, and how he had spoken to them and given them the plan and how to be successful in that. And it's so different than what goes against our human understanding. And today, I wanted to just reflect for a minute on the story about Joseph. And you all know the story, I'm sure. He's the baby of the family. Yeah, the hand of the Lord is on him in a great way. But he doesn't even realize to the magnitude of what God has called him to and what he is going to go through to get to where his destiny is. And sometimes we allow things in our life to derail us when they don't look the way we think they should look, when we're moving in that direction to go to where God has called us to go. And the Bible says in this Genesis 37 and verse 5, Joseph had a dream. You remember the story. He began to tell his dream to his brothers, and they hated him for it. They didn't like him in the first place. He was the pet of his father. He had the coat of many colors. His dad doted over him because he was the baby in the family. Do we have babies and families here? Let me see your hands, like here. I'm the baby of the family. I didn't get doted over, though. So if you want to dote over me, go at it. Anyways, he says to him, listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf arose and stood upright, and while your sheaves gathered around mine, they bowed down to it. Now, how many of you know that that's just not the greatest avenue to go when you're trying to get favor, when you're the youngest and you've already kind of been set apart as the family favorite? And the Bible says that his brothers kind of took a burn to that. Now, God had laid a destiny on Joseph's life. He had been set apart for a purpose, but yet he wasn't where God was going to take him and use him quite yet. In fact, the Bible says that in Genesis 37, that after his brothers had heard that and they had a greater disdain, they said, here comes the dreamer. They said to each other, let's kill him and throw him into a cistern, into a hole in the ground, and just tell everybody that a ferocious animal came and ate him. And then we'll see what comes to his dream. Man, how would you like that going on in your family? I mean, you think you got things going on, but yet everybody that's supposed to be close around you already begins to hate you. And there's some components to getting to the destiny that God has called you to do. And you have to pursue him to find out what you were created for. It's just not going to pop up someday in your life. You got to make a cognizant plan to make that pursuit in that direction. And when you do that, you're going to find out that even when you move in that direction, you're going to find out that maybe things don't start off exactly the way you'd hoped them. And when I say start off, you could be in the middle of your dream. You could be in the middle of your vision. You could be in the middle of your destiny 10, 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden something happens, something shifts in your life. And just because you go or hit a wall or you even fail does not mean that God is through with you yet. Come on today. He didn't just forgive you one time, but He has forgiven you and I every time we fail or we fall. In fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength and He has considered me faithful, appointing me. Now, if you look at the context of how God called Paul, he was in the middle of killing Christians. And God struck him down on the road to Damascus and laid His hand on him for a purpose and a plan and for a destiny in his life. And Paul tells Timothy, I thank God He considered me faithful, even though he was faithless at the time, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, he was a violent man, and I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and in unbelief. It's pretty incredible to know that God has chosen you and that He has a life and a plan for you, even though sometimes we are faithless in our walk with Him. And then you'll find out as you're moving in your destiny that your destiny and your purpose sometimes can be full of surprises. Come on, do I hear an amen in here? He wasn't killed, but he was sold into slavery, and it didn't end there. He made it into one of the leaders' houses, Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife puts the moves on him. I've heard preachers all up and down talking about Joseph and how he fell to Potiphar's wife's plan, or God put him in that place, and how everybody would have reacted differently. I thank God for how Joseph reacted. But I want you to know today that you will be lied upon. You will be rejected. People will talk bad about you. But in the midst of it all, if you'll stay to the destiny and to the plan and the purpose that God's called you to, He will see you through, even though your life and your situation will be full of surprises that you had no idea where they came from. Then the Bible says that even though the situation may be even troubling in your life, that God is working something out in it. And I want to reiterate to you that God didn't create it, but He will take it, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and He will work something good to them who have been called, to them who have been set apart, to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You may be going through something tough today, but I want you to know that God didn't create it, but He's going to turn it around and He's going to use it for His glory today. Amen. Come on. And your vision, your destiny may take longer to realize than you had planned to. Habakkuk again says in Habakkuk 2:3 in the Living Bible, I like this, it says, these things I plan won't happen right away. We live in this instant society. We microwave and want everything now. But slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. And if it seems slow, don't despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. You may think they're overdue, but God says, I've got it all worked out. I've got it all on time. I'm going to bring it to pass when I see fit and when it'll be the greatest benefit and blessing to you and to your family and to the ones that you love. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, don't get weary in doing good in the proper time. Everybody say proper time. You'll reap a harvest, what? If you don't give up, don't you dare give up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Come on. So what can we learn from Joseph's experience? And I'm only going to be just a moment more here. I want you to hear this so we don't forfeit the destiny that God has for our lives. We have to, this is so important, recognize and value the process. This is really important. When you are going through something, when something is happening to you, not only negatively, but good. You know, the greatest thing you can do when blessing and goodness comes on your life is don't just get all consumed about it. Take a step back and just pause. Okay, why? What is God up to because He's doing this good to and through me? Listen to this now. You are not blessed just for you. Good things don't just happen so you can consume more good on you. Good things happen because there is a process that God has brought you to and is bringing you through. Amen. And on the other side of it, if there's something hard happening in your life, if you're going through a challenge or a trial or some kind of tribulation, God is doing something in and through you that He has got great benefit for you in the future that's coming that you can't even see it right now. I'm telling you what, if I could go back and send flowers and blow a kiss to the people that tried to hurt me the most, God used that to launch me into where my destiny was. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God, He doesn't take them back. And a man's gifts will make room for him and take him before great men. I'm telling you what, I'm just a little farm boy from Mechanic Street on South Byron, but I want you to know that God has taken me and allowed me to stand before some incredible men. I've stood in some great places, not only in this region, but in the world itself. I'll never forget the first time that I was invited by one of our friends who worked at the White House to invite us to go down to the White House, and I'm standing in the doorway of the Oval Office, and I'm saying, "My Lord, how did I get here? My wife is there. Honey, come on. You're blocking. You have to keep on moving." And I'm standing there and saying, "Jesus, what are you doing right now? I can't believe I'm standing in the doorway of the Oval Office." Hallelujah. He'll take what you've been through. I think of Chris Buzniak. When God laid his hand up, he's in jail. Could God use anything or anybody in jail? And last week, or 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks, he's in Los Angeles, California, sharing the gospel with people because God took him through a process in his life. And he's not done with them yet. God will use the process in your life to take you to where He wants you to go. And can I say that God in the process is not just interested in making you happy. Hello, come on, now hear me on this, will you? You know, my grandkids, I love them. I love my God. I'd do anything for them. My grandkids sometimes they're crazy. You know, I tell people this. When I take them for the day, man, I'll tell you what, I do things for them. We have a great time. I'll take them to Target. I got five. I say, "You got $15 a piece that you can go. You can get a toy." I mean, Boppy is the champion right here. And they'll go. And every one of them are different. Some of them know right where they're going to go. The most challenging one out of the bunch is my granddaughter, Judah. She is unique. And she'll come up with a gift or with a box, a toy. And she'll say, she knows how to get me. She'll look at me through those glasses and tilt her head a little bit and that blonde hair everywhere. "Boppy, I know this is a little more, but can I have it?" I said, "I told you $15, right?" "Yeah, it's just a little more." I look at it. I said, "Judah, it's $79. She's got a vision, amen? You know, amen, that's another message all in itself. I don't give them everything that just makes them happy. They would eat cheese fries and ice cream and donuts and everything. And then if I told them, "Did you brush your teeth?" Well, no. Brushing their teeth doesn't make them happy. But how many of you know it's going to help them in the long run? And for some of you, you want God to make you happy all the time. And what makes you happy doesn't always make you spiritually healthy. You got to serve the Lord and let Him know that He's bringing you through a process and He's going to take you into the place and the purposes that He has created for you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Be glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure some trials for a while. Quit praying your way out of it and start praying, 'God, what are you showing to me in this? What do you want me to change in this? How do you want to use me in this? What is it that you want to do?'" And he said, "The trials will show that your faith is genuine." And I'm telling you, the faith people don't like this. Although it says trials prove your faith, sometimes the faith people just say, We want to get out of the trial, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, you are going to walk through the fire sometime. Because the fire tests you and it purifies you, and it shows that your faith is far more precious than gold itself. And James 1, 2, and 3, this is one of your favorite scriptures, I know. It says, consider it joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials. And not just one, many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then I love how he ends it. You will lack not a thing. You want to be complete? You want to know God is with you and have power and strength in your life? Value the process. Turn to your neighbor and say, the process. And then, you know, Joseph, he had to learn as well, and we do too, that we have to refuse to let offenses stop us. I am convinced that God has released people in our lives with the purpose to tick us off. How many of you think that way too? I mean, there are people that offend you. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't make them not offend you. That's what they're... It's like, okay, that's who you are. You're going to offend me. You're going to say something that is going to grind on my socks, and I'm not going to like it. But if I let that define me and control me, it will stop me from the destiny that God has called over my life. People will talk about you. They'll lie about you. They'll say things. They'll set you up and try to make you fall and then point their finger and laugh at you. But you can't stop there. You got to rise up, even if you do mess up. Get up, forgive people, and trust the Lord with your life, because God not only wants to do you good, believe it or not, he wants to do good to the people who have set up to harm your life. Joseph, he's 40 years old. He's gone through prison. His brothers tried to hurt him. And the Bible says that he comes to the place where is exactly the dream came to pass, what God had showed him when he was a young boy. And now, 40 years old, he's second in command of Egypt. He is there. He has learned to store up grain. There is a famine in the land. And guess who shows up at his porch? It is his brothers and his father. And they begin to ask him for food. And they didn't know what he looked like. There had been years that have gone by. And I just can imagine he pulled his glasses off like I did right now. He looks down at him. He said, yo, I'm your brother Joseph. You remember me? Could you imagine what they felt like right then and there? Could you imagine that they were trembling in their shoes right then and there? They're going to be dead. He's going to obliterate them. But look at what Joseph did. And you and I can learn from this. I'm talking to somebody right now. You can't let those who have tried to hurt you continue to harm you. And you allow that when you allow that voice to keep on being reiterated in your mind. Let it go. Let it go. Joseph looks down at him. He said, what you did, you intended, you tried to harm me. But God, he's working something bigger out than what you had planned. He took what you did. And notice that Joseph didn't forget it. Oh, if you're going to forgive me, you got to forget about it. No, you don't. That's foolish. You're not going to forget. I remember every time my father hit me. I remember the blood on the floor from beating my mother and my brothers. I remember that. I remember him pulling every dish out of the cupboard. I remember him yanking the phone. Back then, we had cords with phones on them. I know. And take that phone, yank it right out of the wall, throw it at my mother. I remember that. We had a vacuum cleaner salesman come to the house. He got the guy in the house. He put him in a chair in the kitchen. He locked the doors. He said, you're going nowhere. My dad would go away. If he was alive today, he'd go away to prison for life for the things that he did. I remember all that. But it doesn't have any hold on me anymore. If my dad was sitting here right now, I'd hug him. I'd preach. I'd lead him to Christ. Because what the enemy was using in my family right then and there, God turned it around and brought me here today to tell somebody you don't have to live under the offense of somebody that has hurt you before. You can rise up out of that and be the man or the woman that God has created you to be. Amen. Come on, give God a good praise on that. Because Jesus said it's impossible that offenses won't come. They're going to come. And you got to learn that your struggle is not against people. Paul says in Ephesians, it's against our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, authorities. It's against powers in the dark world, spiritual forces of evil. Know that the enemy is behind it. And then you got to remember Joseph did. And he tells in this story, and we can know this too. Don't let your destiny be stolen from you. Remember, even in the hard times, God is with you. He's not going to leave you. He'll never leave you. Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Did Joseph just prosper when the end was appearing? Or was he even prospering when he was in prison? Was he prospering only when he was sitting there and looking at his brothers and his family to give them what God had given him control on? Or was he prospering when Potiphar's wife was trying to bring an accusation? I want to submit to you today, in the midst of the hardest moments of his life, God was already, whew, man, I'm feeling on this right now. God was already setting a blessing up in his future. God knew what was coming. God knew that he was going to stand the test of time, and God was preparing a blessing for him when he got on the other side. That's a word to somebody today. You may be in a dark, difficult time, but I want you to know God hasn't left you. He hasn't forgotten about you. There's favor that is over your life, even in the middle of the dark time, even in the middle of the trouble. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring blessing over your life, and favor is coming to you because he's going to remember you and he's with you. And the Bible says in Genesis 39, I'm going to get to Psalm in a minute. The Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor. There's favor on your life today. Psalm 139 says, if I go up to heavens, David said, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. You can't run from God today. I want you to know that. You can run, well, you can't hide. He said, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even if there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Isaiah says in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, God said, I'll be there. When you pass through the rivers, God said, they'll not sweep you under. When you walk through the fire, God said, you're not going to be burned. Flames will not set you ablaze. Don't be afraid. He said, I am with you. Come on, say it with me. God, you're with me. Say it. God, you're with me. And Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Come on today. Don't let the enemy steal your destiny. Rise up. Know that God's got a plan for you. Come on, let's give the Lord a great hand clap of praise today in his house. It doesn't matter what's happened in your home or in your family. It doesn't matter what's happened in your health, in your body. Oh, it can create some challenges for the moment. But I'm going to tell you something. You're coming out of it. You're going to get on the other side of it. You're going to see the glory of God. The favor of God is upon you. Your life today. Everybody say, favor of God is on my life today. Amen. Amen. I want to take this next moment to just prepare to give to the work of the missions right here in the City Church for our Jam, Jesus and Me, and our big kids. The big kids Vacation Bible School starts tonight right next door. I want you to keep them in prayer. Shandy, we're so proud of her and the team that she has worked so hard on bringing this together. It's going to be an exciting time. This curriculum that we're going to be using is the best of the best. You get the offering buckets, just come on down. Guys, can you put that text thing up on the screen again? If you didn't come prepared, you can take an offering envelope with you. Send it in. Just write missions on the front of it. Or you can use the text. You can give. Come on down, ushers. Come on down. Let's give to him this morning. And then after we give, I'm just going to have some of the prayer folk come down. We're going to pray over your life. Maybe you're in a tough time today. God's going to help you. Father, thank you. Use this for your glory. As we sow the seed, we sow it into this purpose and the process of raising our children up to love and to serve you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you as you give.